Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Good afternoon, everybody, and I mean everybody, everywhere. Hey gang, thanks for tuning in to the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. It's so good to be back on the air with you guys. I really love the time we spend together. It is a beautiful sunny day, 105 degrees in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, July 28th, 2011. Man, time is flying, and especially when you're having fun, gang. With me on the Power Hour today, of course, making everything happen, we just call him simply the Magic Man. That would be Zach Geis.
Thank you, Mac. Glad for another show this week.
Are you ready for a live radio broadcast, my brother?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And of course, in our customary seat, making the whole world sparkle, making everything seem better and smelling really good, the fabulous Natasha.
Thank you. Lovely to be here. It doesn't matter how hot outside, always cool in a studio.
Yes, it is. Always cool in here. How you feeling today, darling?
Fantastic.
Are you? Well, you looking terrific. Are you going shopping today after we finish the show?
Absolutely.
Well, you wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, you know, I get paid.
Ooh, in cash.
So I can't go shopping.
Hey, gang, again, I'm Mac Newton, the host of the Power Hour. We do this show every Thursday at 5 o'clock, wherever you may be. And then we upload it right away to www.macnewton.com, so it's available to you to listen at your leisure, whenever you feel like it, and share it with your friends. Download it, put it on your iPod. Check it out while you're out for a walk or on your bicycle, having fun. Hey gang, you know, you're listening to our musical guest host today. You may be thinking, well, who might that be? Let me see. Could that be, I didn't even know that they had jazz piano players in Switzerland. I didn't know that. I never knew that. I got a new name for you guys. AGA, down in GA. Alex Bunyan. Yes, Alex Bunyan. He's a jazz piano player. And yes, he's from Switzerland. From Montreux, Switzerland. But you know, he's not just some average fly-by-night piano player from Switzerland. Do they have average fly-by-night jazz piano players in Switzerland? I don't know, but Alex studied at the Paris Conservatory of Music and the Mozart Academy in Salzburg, okay? And in 19, he moved to the U.S. and attended Berklee School of Music. So, boy, he's got a whole lot of, training behind him. And so he started his recording career in 1989 with his debut album called Love Season, and then followed up with the one we're listening to called Soul Purpose. And you know what? You know what his sole purpose is? To fill our lives with joy, because it sounds good. You like that, Magic Man?
Yeah, as soon as you put it on, you saw me. I couldn't help but snap my fingers.
I know. And Natasha almost got up and started dancing, you know?
I love it. What's not to love?
Yeah, that's right. This one's called 1215. Yeah, this is called 1215. He's going to start that over again. And, like I say to all you guys, 12:15, you better be looking for a ride home. Because nothing good on the street happens after 1 o'clock. You know, whenever you're watching ESPN and you say so-and-so was arrested, it's always at 2:30 in the morning, at 3 o'clock. Nothing good happens on this out after 1 o'clock in the morning. You should be home. And you don't have to be home in bed, but you should be home. See, unless you're, if you're out in the street, you better be at work, on your way to work, or coming home from work. Or maybe going to the airport to pick up a friend. But you shouldn't be out in the street. I'm telling you. Oh, man, we got a great show on tap for you guys today. I mean, in addition to our musical guest host, we've got an early segment where I'm going to talk about the world we're living in today just a little bit. And I've got just one additional summary that we're going to add to our finish of last week's discussion on the difference between competition and creativity and initiative. In other words, becoming a totally self-reliant individual. Now, if we have time, I definitely want to get into the true D factor, the Dirty Dozen. All right? Got a great show on tap for you guys. As I said, I'm Mac Newt. It is now exactly 4 minutes past the hour in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. 105 degrees. We are in the middle of our monsoon, which means it rains whenever it wants to here. We had a good monsoon the other day, didn't we, Zach? Huh?
Yeah, I was out on my patio just watching the lightning show. I mean, literally, one of them was so bright, it was like a camera going off my face. I couldn't see for a second. Because, you know, they say to count like one Mississippi. So it was only about a mile away. You know, shaking my house, dogs freaking out. Good times.
You gotta be careful standing on your patio when in a lightning show. Because you become an antenna.
I have my shoes on. Say the rubber grounds you.
Well, okay. That's what they say, right?
I wouldn't want to miss the show.
No, you wouldn't want to miss the show? I'd do it from inside the house. But anyway, that's a little tree outside of the studio. It's really small. It started off as a large tree last year. And literally, I was walking along the sidewalk there from my car. It must have been 40 feet away. Singed my eyebrows. Split the tree in half. A lightning bolt.
Yeah, I know lightning strikes are bad for your health.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was very bad for your health. Welcome aboard, gang. You know, it's now about 6 minutes past the hour. And as usual, at this time in the show, we want to give our shout-outs. Oh, yeah. Kurt in the UK, thanks for checking in. Veronica, she gave us a weather update, and I don't know what I did with it. VG, I really feel bad about that. She went to a long... That's a weather update, and I lost it. Give us another for next week. Veronica in the Philippines, staying in touch. Larry and Kimmy right here in the Valley. DZ, you got to give me a fitness update because you are working out online every day. Okay, Chris and Nick here in the Valley. Good to hear from you guys. GA, down in GA, another email. We're going to share parts of that. Barry and the Taekwondo gang up in Chicago. Nick and everybody out in Denver. Okay, Alfredo in Mexico. Andy over in Spain. Al in South FLA. And, of course, our furthest west listener to the Power Hour in Alaska, Ryan Hodges. There you go. Shout-outs right there. Okay. Great, great show on tap for you guys today. You know, the reason that I'm going to kind of re-summarize again our main topic from last week is we had a couple emails asking for some clarification, and so we're definitely going to do that. All right? But first, you know, kind of in line with some of the questions, a little early segment for you. I'll be the first to say that this is not an easy world to live in. I know that. But live in it you must. You know, we've got to learn to deal with certain things. To a certain extent, we whine too much. Certain things we've got to learn to deal with. We're not entitled to everything just being easy every moment of the day. It's not an easy world to live in, but live in it we must. And I'm glad. You know what? We're all part of a functioning whole of this world. And it's an holistic system. I don't think we ever accomplish anything totally alone. We're part of a whole. a functioning whole. And you will never change without affecting some change in the lives of others. People who are touching you. That's right. We're not islands. What we are drops in a single ocean. And what you put into the world always flows back to you in kind. As you sow, shall you reap. And that will never change. I got several emails that were talking about, why is it this way or why is it that? Gang, it's all good. It's all good. I have a new hero. Did I show you her picture, Zach? Did I show you the picture?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't know which one you're talking about.
Natasha. Okay, yes. I want you to describe. Now, this is where we need, you know, we need this on video so okay. You guys can see it. I have a new hero. And her name, let me see, what is her name? Ida. Her name is Ida Keeling. And I think she lives in New York. All right? She lives, and her daughter is named Shelly. Don't know Shelly's last name. But anyway, we've got a picture in this magazine of Shelly and Ida. And Shelly and Ida are running on the beach. Can you see that, Natasha?
Yes, I can see them perfectly.
Perfectly, the beautiful sunny sky.
Very beautiful. Beautiful picture.
Beautiful picture. Ocean in the background.
Yes.
Now, in the picture, how old does Shelly look to you?
You know, Shelly, at first when I saw the picture, I looked and I thought it was a model.
Ooh.
It was just a picture of the model. You know, she's modeling some sports clothes or whatever it was. And I looked at her like in her 20s. That's what I see at first. Then I started looking closer and I see her face and I see some wrinkles. So she's a little bit more mature than 20.
Yes.
So she looks about 45 maximum if you see closer her face. If you see it from the far away, she's like a model in her 20s.
Yes, very attractive, you know, healthy
super
hair.
Attractive.
Very attractive.
Great body.
Yes,
I mean, awesome
great body. And very smooth skin. What do you think, Zach, you know, of Shelly there?
Yeah, I mean, same with Natasha. When you first showed it to me, I just glanced at it. I thought, you know, she's, you know, 40, 50 at the max.
At the
definitely
max.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
You know.
No. So she's, you know, when I first saw her, I thought she might be maybe like you, about 40. Maybe she could be as young as 35, but certainly no more than about 40, 45 years of age. Very slim African-American woman, olive skin, long flowing hair, and blowing in the breeze. And right behind her is an obviously older lady. Her mom is running right behind her. And she, too, is dressed in very attractive sports togs. And you can see the wind in her hair. And her hair is, you know, got some tinges of gray in it. And her skin still smooth, but you can see she's older than Shelly. Her name is Ida, but she's running on the beach with good running style. You see, very
she's
nice
so
running
cute.
Style.
She's a cute older lady.
Yes, she is, but she's not under stress there at all. She's not stressed out. She's not okay. All right, her daughter Shelly. Shelly is 60 years of age, and Ida is 96. 96 years old.
And completely she's shocking.
Shocking. I mean, absolutely shocking. And you see these two pictures, and obviously, it's one picture, actually, and Ida is running just a few feet behind Shelly, and they're in the same pose, right leg forward, left arm up, right elbow behind them, in perfect running style. I mean, she's 96. You can see the wind blowing in Ida's hair. You can see it, and her... You would think that maybe someone 96 might be running, you know, really forcing herself to run a few steps. I mean, even if she could, but you can, none of that is present. What do you see when you see her face, Natasha?
she's very happy. She's a very happy person. It comes from inside, and she's running very easily.
Yeah, she is.
It's like she's flying on the beach.
Yeah, she's 96. Most people 96 are trying to get off the toilet. I mean, you know, if they're able to get on it. You know, they're trying, their biggest worry is how to get off the toilet or get out of the tub. You know, I mean, you got to be kidding me.
I would say there's probably plenty of people that are 60 that can hardly even run. You know, I wouldn't even believe that until you showed me.
Yeah, yeah. Her daughter's 60. She looks 35 or 40, running beautifully. And here, I mean, when I saw this first, she's 96 years young. 96. You got to be kidding me. I'm still in shock. She's my hero. She's my hero. I want to be like her when I grow up. I do. She is just amazing. I'm trying to find. What magazine is this in? I mean, it is. They are both, to me, profiles in courage. She's took up running, I guess, when she was 67, Ida did, and she started racing. She started running in races. She says her my pace has got a little age on it. You know, you gotta be kidding. She's 96. She's always jokes about age, and she's long wanted to live to be 100. She says, I'm a great-great-grandma, she says. My grand's got grands. She has got, let me see this. She's got an outdoor world record completing the 100-meter dash in under 60 seconds. When you do run with her, though, you see it's not that easy by any stretch. So, I mean, she's got a small frame, but she gets in a groove. She swings her arms loose, it's very smooth and easy momentum, and she smiles when she's running. She smiles. She's great. She has great form, a proud gracefulness. This is the way the author describes her. Wow, this is impressive. She has an outdoor world record completing the 100 meters in under 60 seconds. Wow, I know people 30 years younger than that can't do that. She's amazing. Oh, boy. Wow. It is now 15 minutes past the hour, Kate. That is absolutely amazing. That is terrific. This is the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. We got a great show on tap for you guys today. And before we take a break, I have got one more little gem I want to share with you. And what I'm doing right now is I am sometimes I get requests from some of the blogs I do on Facebook. If you want to become one of my Facebook friends, just log on and, you know, send me a note and say you're a listener to the Power Hour, and you're going to get a confirmation immediately. Okay, immediately. All righty. Now, here's one going back to November of 2009. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life exactly as I am today. I want to grow. I want to discover my inner possibilities. I want to challenge my abilities. This means I must change. I've got to face the scary world of change. I can control the direction of change by setting goals and manage their impact on my life. Change is the great truth. My life is dancing before me. And I love to dance. I can't wait another minute longer. That was from November of 2009, folks. Just some things to get you thinking, change your perspective. I mean, what are you going to be doing when you're 96? I remember being in Washington, D.C., about, I'm thinking it was circa 1969. I was there with Jun Ri, a fellow by the name of Jeff Smith, a tremendous martial artist and student of Jun Ri, and Skipper Mullins, a martial artist from Texas, and Bruce Lee. And I remember Bruce Lee saying, you know, I just don't want to grow older. I want to be just as I am today. I don't want to grow older. I want to stay exactly the same. And he says, I just wouldn't be able to stand being old. And you know what? I didn't know how to articulate it at the time, but I could not have disagreed more. Because I remember thinking to my meetings with General Choi, the president of the ITF, and Grandmaster Nam Tae Hee, who I met again last week, and I'll tell you that story after a break. And I couldn't have disagreed more. Because you enter into a whole new realm, a whole new set of possibilities for you, where you're now seeing the world filtered through years of experience that it gives you a perspective unlike any other. Oh yeah. It's too bad that Bruce actually believed that, because he's dead now. You know? It's not about growing older, gang. It's about embracing change and allowing you to control the direction of change by setting goals. And no, you're not getting older. I mean, you're getting older, but you'll never get old. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Powerhouse. The Magic Man is making everything happen. He's going to take us away from all this just for a minute so we can sell something. And of course, the beautiful, fabulous Natasha sitting in her chair. And we got a question for you, Natasha, right after the break. So you guys come back to see how I can put Natasha on the spot. Okay? Stay right where you are. Huh?
That's for sure.
Okay. Stay where you are. We'll be right back. More power. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to remind you of something that's kind of cool. You know, on YouTube, they have this program now where they will create actually channels for people who love to upload videos, which I am one. We've got probably 20 videos uploaded right now on YouTube, and they're all about things that I've done in the past. Might be interesting to you as listeners of the Power Hour. We've got all kind of old Power Hour shows that are uploaded. Yeah, shows where the Power Hour was on television, where I'm talking about the 3-2 eating plan, and we've got demonstrations of self-defense and kids on and all kind of interviews with musicians and a lot of famous people, all uploaded there on YouTube. And here's what is something special. I've got a free Minimax 7-minute workout for you, a complete total body workout that's available for you on YouTube free. Log on youtube.com, put in the name Mac Newton, okay, or Mac Newton channel, and you'll go right there. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor when you go there, gang. I want you to subscribe to my channel. This is going to allow me later on to become partners with YouTube, and sooner or later, maybe then I'll be able to get even my online workouts out there more than ever before. And speaking of my online workouts, they are doing great. You guys are loving it, and we're making changes based on the things you suggest. And in fact, this free workout is one of the things you've suggested. We got more coming. So log on to YouTube and check out all of these videos, all kinds of stuff. Going back when I had long hair. You want to see that? I know you do. Okay, gang. Hey, we'll see you soon. Hey gang, welcome back. It's the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. We're in, about 1/4 of our way through our July 28th show. Can you believe it? 7/28/2011. I can't believe it. It's 105 sunny degrees in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Have you ever been to Arizona in July? Well, if you had, you'd remember it. Actually, I think it's our most beautiful time of the year. All the desert is in bloom. It's phenomenal. People talk about the heat. Don't worry about that. It's dry, and we've got great air conditioning here in the valley. Get down to Phoenix in the summertime. You will absolutely love it. We're listening to Alex Mignon, our guest, musical guest host today on the Power Hour. Born October 10th, 1958, in Montreux, Switzerland. Yeah, a jazz pianist from Montreux, Switzerland. Studied at the Paris Conservatory of Music and the Mozart Academy in Salzburg. That just sounds very elitist. It just sounds like it's really, really good.
Yeah, I don't think he took his classes online.
Yeah, the Mozart Academy, wow. And in 19, he moved to the United States, and he didn't really shortstop here either, or half-step. He studied at the Berklee School of Music. So you know why his music sounds so good. We're listening to some cuts from his album called Soul Purpose. That's Alex Mignon, B-U-G-N-O-N. AJ, more good stuff coming at you. Now, it is now exactly 18 minutes past the hour. And wherever you may be, it is 18 minutes past the hour. I want to share just a little bit of, it seems like GA's weekly email that he sends us. It says, wow, Mac Daddy, you really slapped LeBron with some cold, hard truth. I love it. But I'm sure that will get you a lot of hate mail. Well, it probably will. We got a couple emails from people who were not so thrilled. They thought I was biased against the against LeBron. I don't think I'm biased against him all. GA goes on to say, I just want to let you know that I think anyone who sends you hate mail is a poopy head, because in order for someone to say bad things about you, they must be talking nonsense. And they're just living in the fantasy world, not in reality. Well, that's a nice thing for you to say, GA, and I appreciate it. That's why I like reading that kind of good stuff. Oh, yeah, it is. It is nice. Hey, gang, I promise you, right on the other side, I was going to put Natasha on the spot, and I am. This past weekend, we had the opportunity to go to Dallas, Texas, where Dallas is like a pool table. Flat. I mean, it's not a mountain in the whole state, I don't think. It's just miles and miles of flat. And
a gigantic stadium.
Oh, a huge stadium. We didn't see the stadium, but we did go right by the American Airlines Arena, where, of course, you know the Dallas Mavericks play. Okay, because to me, I think those are the only champions in Dallas, Texas right now.
Not the football team.
No, not the football team. That would be the basketball team. But as we know from a couple of days ago, the football players are back at work.
Yes,
so
sir.
For all these guys out here, yay for you guys. I mean, I'm not a crazy fanatic about it, so I figured they'd work it out one way or another. And after all, I mean, for this so-called lockout, I mean, really, there's been no real football missed anyway. All right, 20 minutes past the hour. Now let's turn our attention to Natasha. We went to this Taekwondo tournament, and it was the first time you got a chance to see that.
That's
and
true.
So we're going to call you our roving sideline Taekwondo tournament reporter. Will you give us the official Power Hour Taekwondo update from Texas?
Absolutely. First of all, I enjoyed my first time being at the Taekwondo tournament. And everything from the beginning to the end was fascinating. My favorite part was, of course, meeting Gwen Hall, or should I say Master Gwen Hall now, because she's got her 7-degree belt. Congratulations. And she's a fascinating woman, just fascinating, wonderful. We supported her all the way. And that was the first day we were watching the demonstration. Next day there was few fights going on, and I observed specifically girls' fights. I loved it. How dedicated those women and men, how much passion and love for Taekwondo in one room. You know, I never seen this in my life. It was amazing. It was fabulous. I was rooting for some Argentinian girl, you know, clapping for her. People were looking at me kind of strange, you know. but I liked the way she was fighting. And of course, you know, when you see somebody's great, you're supporting them. I'm thinking what else was very great. It was great to meet Grandmaster. You have to help me with the Korean names.
Nam Tae-hee, my instructor. Do you remember when we met there? He was.
Yes, it was very exciting. It was very exciting. I was very proud of Mac because he was well recognized. Everybody just came to him. Grandmaster broke into tears when he saw him. And on the lobby, the first thing when we came and on the lobby, I was staying with the luggage, and I heard one woman pointing at Mac and telling her husband, "This is Mac Newton. This is Mac Newton." So everybody in Dallas knew who Mac was, and it was amazing. I felt so proud. You know, never felt better how well known and how well respected, and people just love Mac. They just do.
Well, there you have our official report from the tournament, the Goodwill Tournament in Dallas, Texas, where they had about 20 different countries, including Russia, from all around the world. It was terrific. It was pretty good. Good job. Good job, Natasha. Make her our sideline reporter. She did a great job. Didn't
sure.
she that?
Absolutely,
did
sir.
Yeah, she did a great job. Gang, now it's about 22 minutes past the hour right now, and I want to get back to my my summary, because I want to clear up a couple points, and I want to use this as a way of enhancing our education about some of the differences between competition and creativity and initiative. I'm going to compare it, as I did last week, to playing cards. I talked about that. Now, if I say the words, if I say the word reaction, and I say the word response, Zach, what does that mean to you? How do you define those words?
I think reaction has a kind of an instinctual sound to it. You know, if you touch something hot, you're going to react and pull away. You know, something that maybe you don't process and think a lot, you know, you just react to something, versus a response, you might, you know, have a calculated action towards something.
Okay. That's very good. I like your answer. I like your answer. Let me ask you this. If you went to a doctor and you complain of a certain condition, and the doctor gives you a medication and tells you to start taking it twice a day, and you follow the instructions exactly, and then you go back the following week for a checkup, and the doctor says to you, well, let me just ask you this. Would you rather the doctor say to you, Zach, you had a reaction to the medication, or Zach, you are responding to the medication? Which one would you rather hear?
I think typically they would say reaction, you know, some type of allergic reaction.
I'm asking you the question. What would you rather hear the doctor say to you? Would you rather have the doctor say, Zach, you're reacting to this medication, or Zach, you're responding to the medication?
In that situation, I would think I would rather have him say that I'm responding, because usually you say, if you hear reaction, it's like an allergic reaction or something, you know, negative typically.
Yeah, you get reaction in that regard has a negative connotation.
Exactly.
It's something unpredictable, but in a negative way. People live their lives that way. They wait for something to happen and then they react to it, rather than respond. Now, when I get that word respond, that means my body is probably having a positive association with that medication. Something good is happening. So to me, those words, reaction means negative, response means positive. That's what I get out of those two words. Right. Okay. Now, a lot of people live their lives negatively, so they're simply reacting to the things that are going on around them, rather than responding to the natural ebb and flow of life. Plus, if we want to extend this concept even out to the universe, what can the universe do? Can it simply react to the stuff you do, or does it respond? Now, the only way it's going to respond is if it knows what you want. The way that you let the universe know what you want is to set goals, and then the universe can then respond to that. Otherwise, it's just a reaction to what's going on with you. I think we've set up now very clearly, reaction, negative, response, positive. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Let's say, I want to use the word self-reliant. Now I'm going to use that word to encapsulate creativity and initiative. So I'm going to, instead of having to say every time, the creative, the person with initiative and creativity, now I'm just going to say self-reliant, because we've used that to describe that kind of person. All right? So the self-reliant person, let's say we're talking about cards again. When I was in the VA hospital, I set in that hospital and looked out the window for years, and I saw people play cards. I don't play cards, but I watched people play cards. And they would become very, very competitive playing cards. And that's where I sort of formulated some of my opinions about competition and how they, and the things they would do. I would watch people playing cards do anything it took to win. They would compete hard, lie, even cheat to win at cards. But that competitiveness didn't necessarily make them better people, because it didn't push them to get out of their wheelchairs. It didn't push them to seek alternative treatment, to work harder and become healthy. Not at all. Not at all. They just continued. Their competitive spirit was only in playing cards. Well, the self-reliant person, and I'm going to use this analogy of playing cards to life, okay? They play cards in the spirit of the game. The spirit of the game. And to this person, there is no such thing as a bad hand, okay? Because they don't care whether they win or lose. There's no such thing as a bad hand. If you're watching someone playing cards, they immediately, as soon as they get what they perceive as a bad hand, they're going to throw it out. They throw it out because they figure it's a bad hand, I can't win with it. They throw it out. But that's not how life is lived. That's not even how cards are played. But they throw it out because they're only concerned with whether they win or they lose. The self-reliant person, there's no such thing as a bad hand because they don't care whether they win or lose in the game. You know why? The process of playing or the process of living is their joy. The process of living. Okay. One hand to the self-reliant person is just as interesting as another. And since they're all different, the pleasure comes to the self-reliant person is to see exactly what fascinating patterns are going to emerge over time as the game is played. And where can I fit my cards into this ever-changing, developing flux of circumstances of life? You see, because what appeared to be a bad hand at the beginning, when played properly, can be meshed with other cards that we receive as the game is played that make it a winning hand. But do you see, the super competitive person will never see that. They're only interested in winning and losing. And if they see in the initial hand the fact that they think they cannot win with it, they will throw it out. And not only will they lose the opportunity to have a winning hand, but they'll also lose the joy of playing the game. So to these super competitive people in life, there's very little joy in life. It's so competitive, it's taken the joy out of it. And they don't know how to play the game. Got you now, don't you? All right, I'm going to leave it right there for a moment. We're going to come back after the break, after we get a little bit more of Alex Bunyan, our musical guest host from Switzerland today. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton, the fabulous Natasha, our sideline reporter from the Taekwondo tournament in Dallas, who did a fabulous job, is sitting in making the show smell really good today. And, of course, the Magic Man who makes it all happen. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. You want to do me a favor, gang? If you like the Power Hour, tell a friend. Tell them to log on to MacNewton.com and check it out, okay? And if you have a comment to make to me or a suggestion for the show, send it to 7SEVEN@MacNewton.com. We're going to take out about 1 minute or less to try to sell something so we can keep this show on the air. Okay, you guys stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with our championship level goal setting program. It is taking off like a rocket ship. Now, I realize I don't have a place online where you can order it. However, you can call my office and speak to Lisa, 602-957-6492, and you can reserve your copy of Championship Level Goal Setting, which will give you a 2-CD program along with a workbook. The CDs will guide you through the voice with you and members of your team, either in your office or in family, through the entire Championship Level Goal Setting program. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, pretty soon, Blair and I will be embarking on a tour where we're going to be demonstrating this live and in person. So if you see us coming to your area, be sure and jump on board. The Championship Level Goal Setting Program is now available. We've been talking about it online. You've been hearing about it on Facebook. Now is your chance to get your copy, all right? So call 602-957-6492 and reserve yours right now. Temporarily, copies are limited, so jump in and make sure you are not left behind. Hey gang, I'm back. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. It's a beautiful Thursday, July 28th. It's amazing how fast the time is going. 105 degrees in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. I know the weather is beautiful in Barcelona. I know it's beautiful in the Philippines right now. Yeah. Our musical guest host, Alex Bunyan. Try him out, Jay. I know you like it. Very soothing music. As you entertain your beautiful wife, as you sit out in the patio and watch the sunset after a beautiful day in Georgia, you know, as the sun is setting with all the golden orange hue in the western sky. I spent a little time in Georgia, in Fort Benning. Yeah, I was there. I know what the sunsets look like down there. They're beautiful. So you'll be able to put on Alex Bunyan, and you and your lovely wife will love sitting there sipping on probably let's see, what would they drink in Georgia? Maybe that would be I was thinking of mint julep, but that would be in Kentucky for the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, but they probably got some. I don't know, Jack Daniels. Who knows?
Probably some sweet tea.
You know, maybe some sweet tea. Mike's Hard Lemonade, perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, something for you to enjoy. Thanks for the emails, Jay. I really enjoy them. Okay. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 5 in Phoenix and where you may be around the world. Can you imagine? I got on an airplane last weekend, Zach. It only took me about 40 minutes to get through the checkpoint, huh? Isn't that something?
Only 40?
Only 40 minutes. You know, those people get up close and personal with you now.
Yes, sir.
Yes, they do. They have to pat your legs and your ankles and on your armpits and your elbows and your legs. And that was really close to being groped.
Do you have any trouble with the metal detectors or anything like that?
Of course I did. Of course I did. I mean, I got enough metal in me I've got quite a bit. So, of course I did. So that's why I had to be patted down. But you know what? I'm just making a joke out of it. It really wasn't that big of a deal. They have a job to do. They did it well. They did it the best they could, and they tried to keep a smile on their face and made it and make it as pleasant as they can. So I'm just joking. No, that the TSA does a very good job, and sometimes under some very, very trying circumstances, and they've got an important job to do, help keeping, you know, the skyways safe as they can be. It's a tough job under any circumstances. And so when you fly, you know, be tolerant and patient and cooperative and make it an easy process for everyone. So, you know, I was just kidding. And quite frankly, my hat goes off to all the people who do that job, because it's a very necessary job, but it's not one that's easy, because no one likes going through the process. So they've got to face that all day long, people, and they were positive and upbeat, and I really take my hat off to them. So they made the flight as uneventful as possible, and American Airlines did a real good job with us, and got us there safely, smoothly, and on time in both directions. In fact, they got us back even early, if I recall. So anyway, as we were talking about before the break, and I think you're starting to get it now. I know that GA is getting it. I don't think you guys are getting, you know, an understanding that the process of playing, or the process of living life, is the joy to the self-reliant person. It's not about winning or losing and coming out ahead of someone else. Their pleasure is to see exactly what fascinating patterns emerge. Because to them, one hand is just as interesting as another, but they're all different. So they don't see a good hand or a bad hand. I don't have a good day or a bad day. They're all days, and they all give me opportunities to get more. The pleasure, as I said. Now, this sentence here is one that probably took me several hours to write. Those of you who write, especially write for a living, know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it takes a long time to make a sentence say exactly what you wanted to say. And this sentence is one of those. The pleasure of a self-reliant person is to see exactly what fascinating patterns emerge as the game of life is played, and where they can fit their cards into the ever-changing, developing fluid flux of circumstances. So, as a result of that, they're able to play intuitively. They're able to play instinctively. They're able to play without any fear at all. Can you imagine, let's taking this to life, we're able to live intuitively, in touch with your instincts. You're able to live instinctively without any fear at all. And since they're free of any need or any desperation of winning and losing, you see, to these card players I observed in the VA hospital, they were absolutely desperate for wins, because that was the sheer determinant of their self-worth. And that's all that competitive people can do. They have to win. If they win, they're better. If they lose, they're terrible. They're nothing. It's all about winning and losing. But to the self-reliant person, they can play without any fear at all, because they're free from any need, any desperation to win or lose. Their whole mind is free. They have a free mind to enjoy whatever happens. In fact, that's our goal, is to see what happens. The competitive person is not free to enjoy whatever happens. In fact, sometimes they don't even recognize what happens, because they're all about whether they win or lose. So sometimes they can't even see the opportunity for success when it's right next to them. They can't see it. The self-reliant person is also free to take any risk that they like in the decisions they make in their life or in the game. His only goal, as I said before, is to see what happens. And once they see what happens, since their view is not colored by the desperation for winning or losing, they're now free to explore and discover the possibilities or the potential of what happens and see how these things fit into the ever-changing patterns of life. And so these people are able to see possibilities, potential, where others are blinded, literally blinded to the ever-present opportunities that present themselves. And there you have one of the major differences between winners and losers. The only goal is to see what happens, to explore and discover possibilities, not to prove themselves. You see, because another element of the competitive person is the constant need to prove him or herself, to prove their goodness or their worthiness. Either they're a winner or a loser. Winning or losing plays itself out naturally. It doesn't have to be argued or fought for. It is a natural conclusion of doing things well that you enjoy. It happens all by itself. It doesn't have to be argued for. So, continuing my summary. Am I making sense here now, Natasha?
Yes, you're okay. Perfect, Zach.
Now, am I creating, Zach, in your mind, a greater understanding of what I talked about last week? You know?
Absolutely.
You think so? Okay. See, what I want you to be able to do is not have smart notebooks, but be able to bring these things into your world, and that's absolutely critical. You've got to be able to bring it into your life on a day-to-day basis to where you don't have to, let me go back to my notebook and figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, in a situation, you know, it needs to become instinctual. Like you say, you know, walk while you talk, not, you know, open up your notebook and say, oh, what am I going to do now? You know, it should be ingrained.
Free-flowing. Free-flowing. Like a river. Free-flowing. The competitive person operates out of a constant fear. Fear of what? Losing. Or by not winning impressively enough. Sometimes they can win, but not win the right way. And they are desperate for that. Was it an impressive win? The self-reliant person says, who cares? Who cares? Fear, as I said last week, always limits and degrades us. And I want to tell you why. You can never achieve your full potential ability in a climate of fear. And that's exactly what competition breeds. A climate of fear. A climate of dependence. Dependence leads to fear. Fear leads to comparisons. Oh my gosh, comparisons. And comparisons leads to more competition. And this competition is eventually going to destroy us. It's going to destroy us by degrading us into a life of mere imitation, conformity, mediocrity. Not even excellence. Dependence and limitation never lead to creativity and independence. And freedom for us as human beings only truly come when we put no head higher than our own. So, to become self-reliant, it's not about competing. It's about being creative, about being having initiative, which your ultimate goal to become self-reliant. Now, I hope I've made that even more clear. It is now 15 minutes before the hour of 6 o'clock in beautiful downtown Phoenix. You know, gang, I got an email this week that says, Mac, since your commercials are your company, what do you really get out of doing the Power Hour? You know, I get that question a lot. What do I get? Well, I get to hear myself talk. Now, that sounds funny, but let me just tell you what it really means. It means that I get to hear the things that I'm saying because I'm talking about stuff that I know I need to hear. That's how I choose my subjects. I'm talking about stuff that I know I need to get better at. So I'm forcing myself to research those areas, research my own experience, and the experience of other people very good at it. And every now and then, I say something that I've never learned before. I say something that I don't know where it came from. But great-grandma explained that to me once. She said, she says, Mackie, you know, when a person passes away, the physical body dies. She says, but the soul lives on. And she said, it goes to heaven to be with God, the soul. But she said, the earthly knowledge of that person becomes part of universal knowledge. Universal, doesn't belong to anyone. And any of us are able to, are free to plug into that knowledge at any point. All the knowledge of Einstein and Edison, Mother Teresa, all we have to do is free our mind and plug into it. And sometimes as I'm talking and I'm talking on a subject, like the trap of competition, I will frequently say something I never heard before that's completely foreign to me. And I realize as it's coming out of me that I've simply plugged into that universal knowledge. And so I'm learning as I speak. And then when I finish, I have to write it down. Does that make sense to you, Natasha?
Yes, it does make sense to me. I didn't possess that talent, but you have it.
I think we all do. I really do. It has a lot to do with belief and freeing your mind from fear and predetermination. My mind is open. My mind is open. I remember when someone said I was, I don't want to get too spiritual here. This is not a show about, biblical interpretation or anything like that. It's a show about personal development, but, we're all come from the Creator, and this feeling that someone said to me once, well, I don't want to open my mind too much because if you do, you open it and you allow the bad thoughts and the devil to come in. I said, of course you do. Of course you do. That means you want to close your mind off. It's like the old Native American saying that says, inside of me lives two dogs. One is good and one is evil. And they're always fighting for superiority. And the person might say, well, which one wins? And the answer, of course, is well known. The one you feed the most. So you nurture the good thoughts. You nurture the positive thoughts. And those good spiritual thoughts of the Creator will overpower and simply annihilate the negative thoughts every single time. So yes, I freed my mind and I open my mind and plug into this universal knowledge. And that's why I do this, so that I can get more of what I'm giving out. And that's really how the world works.
Yeah, I mean, not to speak for you, Mac, but, you know, like we just talked about in the early part of the show, you know, you sow and you reap. And, you know, we don't necessarily have a third-party sponsor, but, you know, each week you pour into the world, people listen to our show, and whatever they're getting out of it comes back to you eventually.
Make no mistake about it, Zach. We could have.
Exactly.
Not just third part, fourth part. We could have any number of sponsors to the power hour that we want. It is my choice to not make this just a money-making adventure. This is something that I want to offer and share with the world.
Exactly.
Money is one of the easiest things in the world to make. And if you live your life solely for to just to make money, again, to win or lose, it's to sell your soul to the devil, and I choose not to do that. I think that whatever my wants and needs may be, I can set them as goals, and those will be taken care of in spades without question. So, absolutely. Now, I'm going to give you guys something to take home with you. We got about 9 minutes left in the show today. And I told you we're going to get to the real D factor. A little bit different from my book, The D Factor, but I'm going to give you 12 of what I call the Dirty Dozen. Now, these are 12 things that sometimes we do, because I think that all of us need to continually work on our self-esteem, how much we like ourselves, and our self-image. So if you have any of these following behavioral traits, or if you need improvement in these areas of self-esteem and self-image. Now, if you have 3 or 4, that means you need to learn, you need to spend some time saying, I like myself. If you have between 5 and 8, it needs to become a major goal for you to create a more positive self-image. If you have 9 or more, it has to become your major definite purpose in life to create a more positive self-image, to create more self-esteem for yourself. Here we go. Number one. Now, I'm going to give them out to you right now, and then next week, what we're going to do is break each one of them down and define them, okay? All right. Number one is jealousy. Jealousy. What exactly is jealousy? Well, jealousy is usually something that comes from a person who is insecure, a person who feels that they are worth less than other people. And sometimes if they feel that they have little or no value, then they feel that anyone who is who wants to be with them or claims to want to be with them is probably lying or not to be trusted, since they already know that they have very little self-worth. And so they will frequently be jealous if they see that person even talk to someone else. Everything appears to that person. They become literally paranoid that every gesture, every action, every motive of that person is part of a conspiracy to get rid of them. And they become very, very jealous. It's always a person who doesn't like themselves very much at all, and certainly not enough. And frequently you see people like this try to make their partner jealous. And that's really a double whammy. And you know what? It's really dangerous when it works. Number two, negative talk, especially using negative talk to ourselves. Talking negative about you, saying things like, I never finished what I thought. Man, I'm just no good. I'm just not good enough. I just don't measure up. You know, I'm not fast enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm just not good enough. I'm just not. Number three, an inability to give compliments. Wow. Yeah. You're thinking, you mean to tell me that if I have an inability to give a compliment, it's telling me I don't like myself enough? That's exactly right. I'm telling you that you are afraid that if you give a compliment, you're actually giving away part of yourself. And if you give this away, you tell someone else how good they are. That what's happening here is that you will be less as a result. Number four, an inability to accept compliments. The other side of the coin. An inability to accept compliments. Number five, not taking your own needs into account. It's like you're saying to the world, you know what? I like feeling ignored. I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. But I'll just leave myself out of the equation. Not taking your own wants and needs into account. It simply means that you have low self-esteem and a poor self-image. Number six, not asking for what you want. You know what? It's important that you value yourself enough to actually ask for what you want. Not asking for what you want and leaving it up to someone else's imagination to figure it out. Not only does it almost guarantee you won't get what you want, but it's unfair to the other person. It puts them in a situation where they have to figure out what it is you want. And you know what? They're not going to be able to do that. And then you're going to wonder why not. You're going to say, well, if you really love me, you would have figured it out. No, I'll know when you tell me. Ask for what you want. Number seven, very similar to number three, an unwillingness to give affection. I mean physical affection. I remember once I was going to a bar in downtown Chicago, and I'd been dating this girl for quite some time, and we were crossing a street, and she reached over and held my hand, and we were walking down the street, and literally, the just walking that way, holding her hand, it was almost like my hand started to burn. It's like I just had to stop holding hands with her. I just had to stop. I had an unwillingness, an inability to show affection. Well, she didn't say anything right away. But once we settled into the restaurant, she said, "What's wrong with you?" And I, you know what my response was? "What do you mean? What do you mean what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? It's like you couldn't even hold my hand. What's wrong with you?" Oh, I knew exactly what she meant. I knew exactly what she meant. And as an offshoot of that, number eight is an inability to receive affection. Number nine, criticism of ourselves and as a result, a criticism of others. Number 10, always comparing ourselves with others. Oh, there is the old bugaboo of competition again. Always comparing ourselves with others. Number 11, experiencing guilt. What is guilt? Well, the feelings of a guilty personality is that you feel inferior. You feel that you are worthless. It's a feeling of worthlessness. And what these people say all the time is they feel inadequate or undeserving. They're involved in self-criticism. They're easily controlled by guilt. They're always trying to make others feel guilty. And they use victim language like, "It wasn't my fault. I didn't mean it." And number 12 is they're always in constant poor health. Now, if you have between one and four of these, that means you need to start doing some work. Your self-esteem and self-image needs improvement. Between four and eight, that means that you need to put building and improving your self-image and self-esteem as a top priority in your life. And between 8 to 12, if you have between 8 and 12 of the things I just listed out, that means you need to make self-esteem and building and improving your self-image your number one major definite purpose in life. Now, next week, I'm going to break those down a little bit more. And even though we know change is naturally hard, I'm going to give you the 10 ways, the 10 steps to permanent change from the steps we just gave. Now, Natasha will tell you that I gave these out not that long ago, right, Natasha?
Yes, I already got them.
Yes,
so you already got them twice now.
Yes. And you know why I'm doing it again? Because these are things we need to review very frequently. We need to review it often. Not just to my shout outs, but all the people and all the listeners all around the world to the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. You're listening to our musical guest host, Alex Bunyan. I hope you guys enjoyed him, and I hope you'll get something in your musical collection. Of course, we always want to say thanks to the Magic Man making everything happen, and of course to the fabulous Natasha.
Thank you.
Okay. And how do you say goodbye in Russian?
До свидания.
До свидания. I know you can say, when you say hello, you say привет, and how are you? Как дела? Is that correct?
You're doing very well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, до свидания to all of my... Was that good?
Very good.
Okay. Perfect. To all of our listeners to the Power Hour around the world in whatever language you may be speaking. And I also, as usual, I want to tell you guys to be good to yourselves. Don't save just your best behavior for company. Be good to those who love you when you love, and be good to yourselves. Be true to yourselves. And being true to you means to make sure your words and your behaviors match. There's a word for that in English. It's called integrity. Do you have it? Make sure you're, if you don't, you can get it by making sure your words and your behaviors match. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you tune in again next week. My name is Mac Newton, gang. 3, 2, 1. Peace. The Mac Daddy is out.